by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord. And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Listen. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The grass withers and the flower fades.
But the word of our Lord endures forever. Wow, full house. Really nervous when I get a full house like this. Merry Christmas. It is Christmas. It's still Christmas, guys. Got a few more days to go yet. Our epistle lesson today comes from the letter to the Colossian church. I'm reading the third chapter, verses 11 through 17. Listen for God's word. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Couldn't see one face in the crowd, so I'm going to have to stand over here to do that so I can see everybody. It'd just be this way. So. Good. You don't need to move. Don't get sunburned over there. This letter that I read from this morning contains instructions to the church or churches in Colossae. It's a town in Asia Minor, or was. I'm not sure it's still there or not. Never haven't been to Asia Minor, so I don't know. The authorship is stated to be the Apostle Paul, but guess what? It's disputed. Everything Paulian is disputed. But honestly, there's really no reason to quibble as to whether Paul wrote it or not. for it is Scripture. And it has come to us with great instructions on how to live a life in Christ and for Christ, and to give our all in all. We know this letter to the new Christians who are trying to, that this is a letter to new Christians who are trying to find their way. The major theme of this letter is dealing with the old system of beliefs and corresponding actions in light of a new system of beliefs, the ones Christ has given to us. It sounds like we might learn something from what is being said here, because so often we as Christians, even today, people who have been Christians perhaps for many years, are torn between the ways of the world, the old ways, and the ways of Christ. What Christ has taught us, which is very, very different from the normal ways of the world. In this community of Colossae, it seems the community of new Christians is struggling with this syncretism, this mixing of religious traditions. They mix, perhaps, Jewish ritual sacrificial practices with some Gnosticism, and wrapping it all up in a broad theology that plays out in life much like what life is without Christ being present. See, Gnosticism was taught that Christ was just a spirit here on earth. He was not a real live person. And therefore, his spirit is never really removed itself from God in heaven. Christ did not become human and truly die on the cross. He was a spirit. It is a heresy, but one that was running rampant in the early church in those days. It brought in a lot of Greek thinking about the way life was. And it was much easier for them to identify with that logic and meld it in with the things that they had learned perhaps growing up and throughout their whole life, and the things of wisdom of the ages of this spirit-like being. There was this dichotomy within the Greek philosophy of that which is spirit and that which is material. And they were trying to figure out how to make Christianity fit into that little diagram of life. And the writer is trying to let them know, you cannot do that. You cannot meld Christianity into what you have believed and thought the world was like, because it is a completely different way of looking at life. It is totally different. Now, I know that ten of you, I know, have been Christians for a while, and you pretty much grew up in that kind of atmosphere. And so you wonder, how could anybody get confused by Christianity? Well, I would tell you that not only in that time was it a really different belief, I would say to you today that it is a really different belief today. Unfortunately, we, like the church in Colossae, sometimes meld Christianity into the way of society that we live in. It is a common problem, not just to them back 2,000 years ago, but to us today. We try to make God fit into our constructs instead of stepping out and working and living into God's constructs. Now, before we get too confused, let us deal with this one point. What does it mean to be a follower, a worshiper, a believer in Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah? What does this passage tell us about that, and thus tell us what we should be doing and believing? That is indeed the reason for this passage for us today. The first thing we need to do is figure out what has gone on before this letter. Why does our pericope start with a verse that says, in that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. What is the that renewal? Well, you have to go back a few verses to try to figure that out. We find this thread that is talking about leaving behind the old, getting rid of anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from our mouths, letting go of old ideas completely. There's no more eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, no holding on to others' wrongs done to you, whether perceived or valid, that is what has happened. These are all the things that were a part of society and are a part of our society today, I dare say. The idea that judgment happens here and now. The idea that when we are wronged, we are okay to be angry and not like someone and to not forgive. That's not what Christ taught us. And what this passage is saying is, since you have stripped off the old self and its practices and have clothed yourself in a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator, God, has shown to us in the present, as it's shown to us in the present teachings of Jesus the Messiah, we are made new. And we are no longer to deal with what was, but to live into what is new. As one renewed, your actions should show that renewal. It kind of sounds like a circular argument, doesn't it? You need to look and act as if you are renewed because you have been renewed. Wait, am I renewed because I act renewed, or am I acting renewed because I want to be renewed? The answer to that question is yes to both. It is a continual action of life. Unfortunately, so often when we get lists like we have in this passage about what we should and shouldn't do, we take that as a to-do list. I don't know about you, but I love to-do lists. You know, you write them down. I love it. You know, sometimes I'll write down, do a to-do list so I can mark it off. I get that really good feeling from just marking it off. And too often we treat Christianity like it is a to-do list. Oh, I need to forgive. I need to pray. I need to be nice to people. I need to follow the Big Ten. I need to do, not the football league, the Big Ten, the commandments. Being Christian is not a to-do list. It is a basic change to the way we view life and how we view everything we do every day. And I do mean everything. From washing clothes, cleaning the house, going to work, how you do at work, how you approach going to work. Now, what I'm talking about, in a theological term you've heard a million times, I'm sure, is that this is sanctification. This is what happens to us in life, as God helps us to go through this to become more and more Christ-like in how we act and who we are and how we believe. But it is not a straight line. It is not a formula. Do these things and you're in the door of heaven. It is not do this and this and this and you will now be renewed. It is a renewing. It is a process. Christ has renewed us, given the opportunity to us to have this renewing going on, but it is a process that requires that we get to a place where every decision we make in our lives is made from the place of understanding that everything we do is to please God. Everything. Not just the things we do out in public, not just the things we do in our own homes, not just the things that other people see or even our spouses or whatever, or even that we think about. Everything you do is done for Christ because you are in Christ. It is a continual process. It's an outcome is that everything we do, every decision we ever make, even the ones we feel most trivial, every decision is vetted through this renewal, which means we constantly have to seek Christ's view of what we are thinking about, our schedule, our life. Do we buy this? Do we buy that? Do I read this book? Do I read another book? What do I do? Every decision in our life is to be lived in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't. I try. But there are days when I get going. Days when there are more to-dos than there are hours to do them in. Days when I've had a week of doing nothing but working and trying to get things done, and I can't go to sleep tonight until I get more things done. And it totally leaves my conscious state to be doing things as if I'm doing them in Christ, which is what I am doing. I try, and yet I know I am not even close to getting there. It is difficult because what we're talking about is doing everything for Christ and acting like everything we do is for Christ. If you now think about common chores that you do, perhaps mowing the lawn, washing clothes, washing dishes, anything. If you take it on in the perspective of something that you are doing for Christ, it is a whole different meaning. If I'm doing it because if I go to do my laundry and I do it because I'm out of clean clothes, I look at this as some chore that I have to do, something that's taking my time away from something that I really want to be doing, something that's a pain in the katush, and I'd really rather. If you see how looking at it might be different if you say, how is Christ working in me for me washing my clothes? Perhaps, I would have a much better attitude if I looked at it that way and I said, wait, what is Christ asking me to learn in this activity? What is it that I'm supposed to be better at by doing this? Yeah, it's nice that I won't smell bad when I go out into public, perhaps. Is that what Christ is trying to teach me? There's a lot of questions to ask and a lot of living into this every day that is difficult. What am I supposed to be learning from Christ while doing is the question we need to live into every day. How is Christ drawing us more and more into this renewed place with each activity that we go about doing? Perhaps as doing laundry might be that I should love my spouse more and do it to help her have time to do something else for Christ that she wants to do. Perhaps there's all kinds of things that I should be doing and thinking of what Christ wants me to be in doing them. Even the most trivial things that we do. For to be renewed, we must do all of these things for Christ. If we cannot do the small, simple things for Christ, how are we to learn how to do the big things for Christ? The really big things. The things about dealing with other people, with family. People that bother you for some reason or another, and yet you need to be loving and kind to them. How can we tackle those if we can't tackle the daily grind of things like washing clothes or washing dishes or simply going about our jobs? Do you live into this calling? Are you being renewed constantly? Not just because Christ is doing something to you, but are you constantly growing closer and closer to Christ as you commune with Him daily in everything that you do? If not, perhaps this would be for each of us our one New Year's resolution. This living into the renewal that God offers us through Jesus Christ. It is truly how we grow so close to God that we could never live without Him. I give thanks to God for the gift of renewal in Christ and look forward to doing all the things of my life in my Savior's name. As we go out into the world, I pray that you will join with me in being renewed. Thanks be to God. Amen.